We open the scriptures this evening to read from Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31, and we'll read from verse 10 until the end of the chapter, verse 31. Proverbs 31, verse 10 through 31. This is the word of God. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, and when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. We read this far in God's holy and inspired word. The text for this evening is in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22. Proverbs 18 and verse 22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Beloved, you see from this text how practical the book of Proverbs is in its instruction. Solomon is speaking to his son. Obviously, his son who has yet to find himself a wife. And this sermon is, and this word, is obviously intended especially for such in the congregation, for the single young men in the congregation. There are important questions that you must have answered tonight in your mind as you leave this passage of the Word of God. Do you think about marriage? Do you look for a wife? And if you do, why? And if not, why not? And then this question, what do you think about marriage? And what do you think about finding a wife? Does that frighten you? Is that something that you see as not very important? You see, there's a danger that young men will postpone finding a wife for the wrong reasons. And if you are looking for a wife, what are you looking for in a wife? And as you look for a wife, what should you look for in a wife? Well, perhaps you are looking, and you're looking for the right things, and you think, well, it's useless. Then God's Word tonight will speak to you as well. Young man, this is God's word. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains the favor of the Lord. Solomon maybe could tell you that. I could tell you that from my experience. Other men in the congregation could tell you that. But this is God's word. This is God's wisdom for single young men. And more than that, this is the wisdom, the word of Jesus Christ, who is filled with all wisdom, who is wisdom personified, and Christ Himself knows the blessed good of finding a wife. Christ found a wife. Think of what Christ did to purchase His wife, His bride for Himself. And think of the blessing of the union of Christ and the church and the joy that brings to Him and also to His bride. So Christ tonight says, this is good. This is a blessed thing to find a wife. Now, of course, this is not a word exclusively for the single young men in the congregation. Married men tonight will hear about the virtues of a godly wife. And young and married men in the congregation, if you have a wife who is a godly woman, you should appreciate her for that. And you should tell her that you appreciate her for that. And love her. Make this the reason that you love her. And of course, it's a word for the women, married and single in the congregation as well. They learn what they should be from a passage like this. And God also gives to the married women in the congregation men, husbands. And they ought to appreciate them as well. There's a word here for the parents of children, of young people. You need to teach your children to be what they should be according to the Word of God in marriage. To train your children, the home is the training ground for that. To train your children to be godly husbands and men. To train your children to be godly wives and mothers in the future. And you teach them that not only by what you say, but by example, by your own life. There's a word here too for the single women in the congregation who want to be found by godly men. This will describe who you should be. And also for the single who wait on the Lord to be patient as they wait. And so tonight we look at this text under the theme, the blessedness of finding a wife. And we'll notice three things. First, what that blessedness is. Second, what to look for in a wife. And then third, how to find such a woman. The text speaks of finding a wife, he who findeth a wife. And it speaks of that as a good thing. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And that describes not only the wife, but it describes the task of finding a wife. To find a good thing is a good task. And so we should see that at the beginning. This is a blessed thing. Now this is not the only possible good thing for a single person. And we have to understand that as well. It's not as though everyone who is single must find himself a wife or a husband. That's clear enough in the Scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You know that Paul in the New Testament says concerning himself being single, I would that all were like me, that is, single. But we have to understand why Paul says that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the Apostle Paul is answering some questions that were put to him in a letter by the church at Corinth. He says in 1 Corinthians 7 verse 1, now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me. And they asked him some questions about married life. And they asked him some questions about the single in the church. And the Apostle Paul makes plain in 1 Corinthians 7 that we shouldn't look at one as good and the other not. But both of them are good in the eyes of the Lord. There are good reasons to remain single. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 26, or verse 25. He says, "Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord." And he means, I'm not going to tell them that they must marry. But verse 26, "I suppose therefore that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be." He means to be single is good. And he gives a reason there why it's good for the present distress. He's writing to a church that was being persecuted, and he's saying to the men in the congregation and the single women in the congregation, while the church is being persecuted under that present distress, it's much easier, simpler from a practical point of view to be single. Then you don't have the anxieties of your mate. Then you don't have the burdens of family and children. So of course, when there's persecution, it might be wiser from a practical point of view to remain single. But those are not principal reasons. Those are practical reasons. He gives another one in verse 32. "But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife." There's also a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And he's giving there a practical advantage again for being single. The practical advantage is that in marriage, it's very natural that husband and wife concentrate on the care of each other. And that's going to incorporate care for earthly things in their relationship. And he's saying that a single person is free from those cares. And so they are able, because of that, better to give themselves in devotion to the Lord. But he doesn't mean that the single state, the state in which he lived, was holier or should be held in a higher esteem than the married state. In fact, the apostle commands earlier in the chapter that some should get married. He says, if you cannot contain, then you ought to marry. It's better to marry than to burn. And he means by that there's a certain grace of God that's needed to live the single life. And those who find that they don't have that grace ought to look for a marriage partner. They ought not remain single as though that's better. And so he says to them as well in that chapter, let each man abide in the calling wherein he is called. If God's called you to be single, abide in that calling. If God's called you to be single, but he hasn't given you the gift to remain single perpetually for your life, then look for a spouse. If God's called you to be married, don't long to be single, but serve the Lord in that calling as a married person. Now, why do we bring all this up? Well, first of all, because the single in the congregation, whether single by choice or single by the work of God's providence, should know that in the eyes of the Lord, being single is a good thing. It's not any less good than being married. It's perfectly okay to be single, and it's perfectly okay to choose to remain single. And especially in the church, and where we understand the covenant and God continuing to save His church in the generation of believers, we must emphasize that. Sometimes the single feel the pressure to be married, as though it would be better to be married. That shouldn't happen. God doesn't look at one as better than the other. But second, we bring all this up because there are wrong reasons to marry, and there are wrong reasons to remain single. There can be carnal and worldly and frivolous and vain reasons. And today, the world in which we live would stress exactly those things. It would say to us, you should remain single, because if you get married, that has with it a whole load of responsibilities that you don't want. And if you get married, that will tie you down. You'll lose a whole load of liberties that you're able to enjoy right now. And so the world says you shouldn't marry. And people stay single. And they, through fornication, indulge in the privileges of marriage. And that mentality leads to that sin of fornication and adultery. It's very clear from 1 Corinthians 7 that if one is going to choose to remain single and not to marry, the reason for that, the biblical reason for that, must be either that this is God's will by His providence, He hasn't brought a husband or wife yet, or if one chooses, they choose to do this so that they may serve the Lord in that state. Continue in the calling in which God has called you, says the apostle. And he means serve the Lord. That has to be our motive and our reason, whatever our marriage date, married or single. And so, this is where the proverb that we'll consider this evening comes in. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to seek to be married. And it's especially, according to the proverb, a good thing for a man to seek and to find for himself a wife. Now, there are reasons that that's a good thing. And the first reason that that's a good thing is that God created male and female for each other. It's very natural. It's very normal for the man to seek one of the opposite sex to be his companion in life. That's the way God intended it. You remember in the beginning, Genesis chapter 2, God created Adam alone. And God created the animals in pairs, and He brought them before Adam two by two that He might name them. And God didn't do that just so that Adam could name them, but also so that Adam could see two other things. One, that he was alone. And then two, that Adam, the opposite sex, to be his companion in life. That's the way God intended it. You remember in the beginning, Genesis chapter 2, God created Adam alone. And God created the animals in pairs, and He brought them before Adam two by two that He might name them. And God didn't do that just so that Adam could name them, but also so that Adam could see two other things. One, that he was alone. And then two, that Adam might feel his emptiness. Not only was he alone, so that he needed a companion, but he was incomplete. God created the woman to complement the man, to fulfill him, to be his other half. And that's the idea in the original creation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about when he says, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 8, "For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the man to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things be of God." Now, You read that and you think, now what's he saying? He's playing with words back and forth. But this is what he's saying. The man isn't created to exist without the woman, and the woman isn't created to exist without the man. But God created in the human race male and female that man and woman might live together in this glorious mystery of marriage. God created man and woman for each other. So it's perfectly natural. It's nothing to be embarrassed about, nothing to be afraid of, to seek a woman to be your wife. God intended it. And if God intended it, then of course God will bless it, and it's a good and blessed thing. The other reason that it's good for a man to seek a wife is that the marriage relationship, the relationship of the man and the woman, reflect the relationship of Christ to his people, to the people that he saved. That's a covenant thing. In the text you have that word, Lord, the word that we heard about this morning. He who findeth a good thing, he who findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth the favor of the Lord, the blessing of Jehovah. That's his covenant name. And that covenant blessed, but to make her his own. And then think of the blessed result of Christ seeking this bride for himself. You and I as believers enjoy the riches of Christ finding a bride. And so it is a good thing. It is a good thing for a man to find a wife. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 4 puts it this way, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. Honorable. It's an honorable, a good thing to be married. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 14 puts it this way, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Something from the Lord is a gift. And so this speaks very highly of the gift of a wife. And Proverbs 19, verse 14 puts this on the younger men. Houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers. Maybe when people are older, then they look to establish themselves financially and look to establish themselves with a house and riches. But when you're young, that's the idea of the proverb, when you're young, you look for a wife. That's the way to establish yourself as a young man. Genesis chapter 2 speaks of God bringing Adam his wife Eve. And he said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of a man. And then we read this, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. That's God's creation ordinance. God intended man and woman for each other in creation. And you know what God said after every act of creation? He looked on it, and behold, it was very good. It pleased the Lord. Marriage, Christian marriage, is pleasing in the Lord. A man leaves his father and mother. That means there's a time in a young man's life when he leaves the home of father and mother. He makes a break. Not he leaves in an absolute sense in that he forsakes them, but he leaves to establish a home of his own. And one essential element for that is that he find a wife. That he go out and find a wife with whom to establish a home. Now that doesn't just happen. The text speaks of it as an activity. He who findeth a wife. And there are wrong things and wrong ways to go about doing that. And so we must say some things about this finding. And the first is this. Young men, you ought to take this task of finding a wife seriously. Dating is not a game. Dating is not a game, but a calling. The world in which we live today treats it like a game. Dating is seen as a recreational activity. People do it just for fun. And usually the fun that's involved in the dating game is engaging in sexual activity which God has prohibited outside of marriage. And so young men of the world go out to date with this in view. How soon can I get her in bed? And how many different ones? And they put them on as notches on their belt, as though they're the studs of society. Dating is not a game. We ought to take this very seriously. Now, it may be that our young people don't date that way and don't engage in such things, but there is that influence from the world on our young people. And it's a very powerful influence. It's there in what you see on television. All over the place. But even stronger is the influence that the young people feel as they go out into the workplace and into the college atmosphere. This is what's promoted in the world in which we live today as dating, recreational dating for sexual encounters. And that has its influence. You mean you don't do that? And that's the kind of pressure that our young people will feel. It's promoted in the lifestyle of partying, in the nightlife of the young people in our society. And what's lost in all of that is the seriousness of dating. And we understand the seriousness of dating and of finding a wife when we understand the goal of dating. And the goal must be to establish a godly relationship between a godly man and a godly woman, that God might be praised in that relationship should it develop into marriage. Dating should not be motivated by merely physical attraction. Should not be motivated by fun and by enjoyment. The Bible doesn't have those things in mind here when it speaks of a young man finding a wife. And that means, too, that the trend in our society to date at a very young age ought not be a part of the life of the children and the families of the church. Parents ought to restrict that. If we are to take it seriously, if its ultimate goal is the finding of a godly man or a godly woman, then the immature should not engage in this activity. Now, it doesn't mean that in dating a boy and a girl or a young man and a young woman can't enjoy themselves. It doesn't mean that in dating a young man or a young woman have to immediately begin to speak about marriage. They need to get to know one another. There's a certain amount of casual acquaintance that belongs to dating. And they must get to know one another in environments, social environments with other friends, get to know one another's families. Get to know one another's character and response in those situations. Their friends. Marriage isn't something that we should hurry into so that we immediately begin to discuss this kind of thing. But the point of it is this. This is something that must be taken seriously and seen not as a recreational activity, but as a calling from the Lord. Not as a game, but as a task that God lays on the young men. Otherwise, there'll be no blessing of God on this task, and it will end in disaster. So that's the first thing. We ought to take finding a wife seriously. And then in the second place, about finding a wife, the men ought to see, the young men ought to see that they have first responsibility in finding a life's mate. The text is not arbitrary when it says, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing." It's not as though the text could just as easily say, "She who finds a husband finds a good thing." That might be true. But the finding is the task that's assigned here to the male, to the young man. Now that doesn't mean that the young women do nothing. You and I are very aware, we've all been witnesses of a woman's ability to attract the attention of a young man that she's interested in. But she shouldn't throw herself at the young man. The young man has the responsibility. He should lead. And that's the case because the scriptures are very clear on the headship of the man in the male-female relationship. And that's something that must be reflected not only but established in the dating period, so that it's clear that the man is the head and the man takes the leadership. Now, of course, the world in which we live in, with its women liberation movement and post-women liberation environment, would laugh at that. But this is the Word of God. The young men have a responsibility. They have a calling. They desire to be married, to find a wife. Proverbs chapter 31, which we read together, speaks of the virtuous woman, a wife, speaks of her as far above rubies, a precious jewel. And a precious jewel is something that someone puts effort forth to find. It doesn't just fall into your lap. If a woman has lost a precious piece of jewelry, her engagement ring or wedding ring or something like that, she puts forth a diligent search to find it. And so it should be for the young men. They need to find a wife. And they need to be diligent in this. Make effort. There are godly young women in the church waiting to be found. And young men, you shouldn't be afraid of this calling. Take it seriously and do it. Now the second thing we want to look at this evening is what to look for in a wife. And the statement in the text, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing," is not a general statement as though any man who finds any woman to be a wife has found a good thing. That certainly cannot be the case. Ungodly men who search for women in godless places and find women of this world sleazy and unwise, or divorced women to be their wife, do not find a good thing. The text is not a general statement. And Solomon warns even against going out to find that kind of a wife. You read chapter 2 of Proverbs and chapter 7 of Proverbs. And he's talking to his son about the loud, obnoxious, flirty, foolish women of this world. Not anyone, not just anyone, makes for a good wife. And so, young men, you should be very clear on this for your sake and for Christ's sake, to whom you belong. You need to find a particular kind of woman to be your wife, and then you found a good thing, and then you obtained the favor of the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 12 And verse 4, this is what Solomon speaks about with his son. He says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh him ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. You can find that kind of a wife who shames you with her godless living. And that's rottenness in your bones. There's nothing good about finding a wife like that. And so you must be fussy. Spiritually, you must be fussy about who you find to be your wife and where you find such a woman. And that's what the text has in mind by a good thing. Now we want to describe and explain what this good thing, this good wife is. And first of all, young men, when you look for a wife, you must look for a woman who is godly, a God-fearing woman, a woman who's a believer, a woman who lives in the consciousness of God, a woman who lives before the Lord and unto the Lord, who has that as the perspective and the purpose of her living here in this world. And that means that apart from her beauty and apart from all her natural abilities, this is what makes a woman worth finding. And when you've found a woman like this, one who before everything and above everything loves the Lord and fears the Lord, a godly woman, then you've found a good thing. Solomon is talking about this in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 14, when he says, a prudent wife, a wise wife, is from the Lord. Obviously, he means one who isn't prudent, one who isn't wise, is not from the Lord. A prudent wife is from the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 31, this is the kind of woman that you should look for, the virtuous woman whose price is far above rubies. And he says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. Popularity, that's not what you look for in a woman. External beauty, that's not what you look for in a woman. But a woman who fears the Lord, one who, he says there in Proverbs 31, clothes herself with honor. Because she's a woman who lives a God-fearing life to serve the Lord first in all things. Ladies, this is who you must be. Young ladies who want to be found by godly young men, this is who you must be. And men, married men, if God has given you a wife like this, He's given you a good thing. This makes her price far above rubies, regardless of her talent, her looks, her character, her characteristics. This makes her a great prize that she's one who fears the Lord above all. There's nothing in the world more precious, more valuable than a wife like that. Has God given you a wife like that? Love her. Love her for that. And be thankful to the Lord for her and thankful to her for that virtue. And so first, that's what you should look for, a godly wife. And then second, men should look for a wife to complement themselves. That is, to be a companion to themselves. And I mean this from a spiritual point of view. Let me put it like this. It's not enough that the woman you find is a churchgoer. It's not enough that the woman that you find is perhaps raised in a Protestant Reformed home, as though that's enough. It's not enough that she has similar interests to your own. But you need to look for a woman who's one with you in the fundamentals of the Christian faith, so that you can be spiritual companions, so that you can complement each other in your faith. so that she doesn't lead you away from Christ and away from the Word of God. But she strengthens you and leads you into a stronger faith in the Lord Jesus. You see, God created a woman to be a help and to be a complement to the man. And He did that not just from a physical point of view, not just from the point of view of the function of the man and woman in the home and the family, but God made the woman to be a complement to the man also from a spiritual point of view. And that spiritual complement you must keep in mind as you search for a wife. It's really amazing that after men and women, a man and woman have been married for 10 or 15 years, they think the same. Maybe they have some little differences of opinion about different things. But ordinarily, this is what happens in marriage. A man and a wife become one in their principles and in their outlook on spiritual things. And if you're going to remain strong in the Lord, you need to find someone who will complement and be a help to you in your faith. And so that's the second thing here. You need the right foundation for your relationship. And then the third thing that you should look for as you look for a wife is that she's a wife, a woman suitable and willing to be not only a wife but also a mother in the church and the covenant. The children that are born in a believing home are not just the flesh and blood of the parents, but the children that God gives in a Christian marriage belong to Him, and they're His children. And as you look for a wife, you must not think only of yourself and your own satisfaction and your own pleasure, but you should think of the generation that is to come, the children that will follow. And you need to find a woman that's suitable to be a godly mother to the children that God in time will give to your home. You find a wife then who's like the woman in Proverbs chapter 31 who gives herself selflessly and sacrificially to her home and her family. A woman who will give up her work. A woman who will give up her time. A woman who will give up her personal interests and her energy and even her body to bring forth children in the church and in the covenant home. A woman who will do that willingly, that's the wise woman. She willingly takes up this work and lays her hand to the distaff. A woman then who has not just natural gifts, but spiritual gifts, who teach and be an example in her own life to the children that God will give you. If you have a wife like that, then you found a good thing. Then you found a good thing. A godly woman, a woman who's willing to be a mother and a wife, and a woman who complements you spiritually. If God has given that kind of a woman to you, you found a good thing. And you need to be thankful for that. And so you have to be fussy about the kind of woman that you find. And that means you're going to be fussy also about where you find such a woman. You won't find this kind of a woman out there in the world of ungodly men. You can't do what Samson did and what the Israelites did in the wilderness and when they returned to Canaan. You can't go out there and look among the daughters of this world and expect to find a woman like this. You know what happened, and I don't need to remind you of that. What happened again and again in the Bible? In the book of Genesis, the sons of God looked on the daughters of men, and they married them because they were fair, and it wasn't very long. And the whole of humanity was apostate and corrupt, and there was only one God-fearing man, Noah, left. And it was because of this mixed marriage. You may not look in the world of unbelievers for a wife or a husband, young people. You may do that. What fellowship has light with darkness? Can two walk together except they be agreed? And you know the answers to those questions that the Bible puts to you. Now some will use an excuse. Well, I've seen it work before. I've seen it work before where a believer dates an unbeliever, and that believer is very strong. And the unbeliever, as a result of it, is brought into the church. You fail to see from that how many times that doesn't work. And how many times it goes the other way. And usually because the wrong motives are there at the beginning. You need to find a God-fearing spouse, a God-fearing wife. Where will you find her? Well, you find her in the church. You find her among believers. And you begin your dating relationship with that foundation. Spiritual things first. As you go out and look for a husband or a wife. That means you're going to start in our own churches and look for a husband or a wife among Protestant Reformed young people. Not saying that that's exclusive, that's the only way to date. But that's where you must begin. Because the fundamentals of the faith are there. And you build a firm foundation in marriage on those fundamentals, those principles that you know from the Word of God from very early on. About all kinds of areas of life. You need to be fussy. And if you do date outside, you begin with those spiritual things. And you don't hurry your relationship. Your faith must be more important to you than a marriage partner. God will bless that kind of finding. Now, how do you find a wife? Well, you seek a wife, you date, you take this seriously, you see it as a calling, all these things. But Proverbs chapter 19, verse 14 tells us that a prudent wife is from the Lord. And that means, first of all, that to find a wife, you must know the Word of God and the will of God concerning marriage and concerning what constitutes a godly wife. You study the Word of God. You read books that have been written on this. You learn by asking questions. You learn from your own mother, perhaps, what it is to be a godly wife. And you take that with you as you go out and look among the women that come across your path in your life. And maybe you're attracted to a particular woman, but you ask this question, not about her beauty or her riches, but you ask this question. Is she a beautiful woman on the inside? Is she the virtuous woman described in the Scripture? And you take what you know from the Word of God and you apply that to your dating. In the second place, how do you find a wife? You do it by prayer. This is what Isaac did. You remember Eliezer went out to find a wife and to bring her back. And as Eliezer returned with Rebekah, who would be the wife of Isaac, Isaac was in the field and he saw the train of camels coming. And we read that he was meditating in the field. Literally, he was praying in the field. What do you think he was praying for? He was praying that Eliezer's mission would be a success, that God would bring to him a godly wife. One who is willing to be a mother in Israel. And you look in the Old Testament at all the different marriages there, and the marriage of Isaac and Rebekah is one that stands out. There was no adultery. There was no polygamy. Yes, they had some disagreements later in life, but it was a very rich and fulfilled relationship. You remember when Isaac and Rebekah went into the land of Abimelech, and Isaac lied to the king about Rebekah. Said she wasn't his wife. And then the king caught them. Doing what? We read that Isaac was sporting with Rebekah. He found his delight in her. God answered his prayer and blessed him in his marriage. And so pray, young men, pray. Pray according to the word of God for a godly wife, a spiritual companion, one who will give herself to the calling that God has set down in Scripture for married women. Pray, and God will bless you in His time. And then third, wait patiently on the Lord. Patience is something that it's good to learn when you're young. Solomon will say, it's good for a man to be afflicted when he's young. Even the young men shall faint and fall, but they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And the Word of God is telling us there in Isaiah 40, there's a strength stronger than the strength of youth. And that's the strength that we find as we wait on the Lord. Finding a marriage partner doesn't always happen right away. It can take many years. Sometimes it never happens. And then we must commit that also to the Lord and wait on Him. Be patient. Wait. Wait. Wait on the Lord. As we conclude, husbands, do you have a godly wife? Be thankful to the Lord for her and love her. Young men, don't be afraid of marriage. Don't be afraid of dating in a godly way. Be confident. Young women, wives, strive to be the godly, virtuous woman of the Scriptures. Amen. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy original creation of man and woman. We thank Thee for the wonderful relationship between husband and wife as it even begins in the way of a man with a maid. And we thank Thee for the mystery of marriage. We pray that Thou wilt strengthen our marriages, that Thou wilt give us to be appreciative for the spiritual gift that we have in husband or wife. We pray also that Thou will bring to the young men and the young women in the congregation who have a desire to be married, a godly husband, a godly wife, that they also may continue in that state also to give glory to Thee. Grant us patience as we live in this world. We pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen.